All right. I like those songs that they sung and the spirit they sung those songs in.
Yeah.
The Bible says in Psalms 55, and I'm not going to preach it, I'm just going to quote a couple of verses here, but Psalms 55, verse 6, the psalmist said, "Oh, that I had wings like a dove, and then I'd fly away and be at rest." And you know, sometimes that's what we want, a set of wings, get out of this mess.
That's right.
But the Lord's going to come for us. And the Bible says in 2 Peter, I think it's verse 4, "There's given unto us exceeding great precious promises to usward from God."
That's right.
And then you got 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. It says, "All the promises of God in Him are yea, and in Him are amen."
Amen.
One thing it's impossible for God to do, it's impossible for God to lie.
That's right.
When they start singing them songs, I start thinking about getting out. Amen. I don't know about y'all, but I don't want to stay down there no longer than I have to. It's like serving time in prison to me. My home's up there.
That's right.
I used to have a home down here, and I still do, don't get me wrong. But my real home ain't here.
No.
I'm just sojourning. I'm on my way home, amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I enjoyed those songs. Man, they got talking about up there, praise God, we'll stroll down streets of gold and we'll forget about all of our troubles and misery and they'll be forgotten. Man, that's one thing to make heaven home and make it wonderful.
That's right.
We ain't gonna be troubled on every side, tempted on every side, and tried and all of that. Praise God, we're gonna enjoy what time that we have. We're gonna take some Old Testament scripture this morning, so you can be opening up your King James Bible to 1 Kings chapter 10. And I had this thought all week long, and I wasn't really sure what I was gonna do with it. And I thank the Lord, you know, that He not only called me, but praise God, He promised to help me.
Yeah.
And the Bible does say, "Make your call and election sure." And it says, "Brethren, you see your calling, not many mighty, not many noble, but God's chosen foolish things to confound the mighty." God don't choose the big names. Sometimes He chooses the little old peons. And somebody said, "It'll never amount to nothing." And that's true, unless God does something. But anyway, we just got a thought this morning about the Queen of Sheba here, and God being our helper this morning, we certainly want to try to preach on that, and it'd probably help if we could find our notes here. They seem to be missing. There we go. No, that ain't it. That's the wrong one too. Well, I may have to wing it. Oh, here we go. Somebody got back here in the back. But I want to preach today on seeking sinners, and every sinner is in the predicament of the Queen of Sheba. And that is that they have to seek. And the Bible says, "Seek and you shall find."
Yes.
And those that seek Him early find Him. And we want to read 13 verses here out of 1 Kings chapter 10. And we want to comment, most of it just going to be in verse number 1. We want to comment on quite a bit of this text here. But in this text, talking about this Queen of Sheba, She made a long journey. She undertook a great undertaking. I don't know exactly how far away that she was, but she made a long journey to fulfill a quest that she had. And we're going to read about that here in these 13 verses here. If everyone's found that, 1 Kings chapter 10. It says, "And when the Queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to prove him with hard questions. And she came to Jerusalem with a very great train, with camels that bear spices." I like spices. Man, me and my wife, we eat Mexican. I think Friday night, I believe, I called her and I said, "You want something from Mexican?" She said, "Yeah, get me a fajita." And that sounded good, so I got me one too. But I like spices. You know, Lord, He didn't just make it where we had to eat. He made it where we could enjoy what we eat. And I kind of like spices because they kind of add to the taste of the food. But she came with spices, very much gold. Everybody likes gold. And precious stones. I was looking at that necklace that Carolyn had on back there. And I'm sure there's probably semi-precious stones, but they're beautiful. But that's one thing, you know, we like precious stones. And you know, when they're like in your ring or in your necklace, so beautiful. And I was looking at her necklace, and I was just kind of noticing how beautiful that was. And this queen, she brought very much gold and precious stones. And when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart. And Solomon told her all her questions. And there was not anything hid from the king which he told her not. And when the queen of Sheba had seen all of Solomon's wisdom and the house, it wouldn't have took very long with me, but Solomon was the wisest man that ever lived,
According
to the Bible here. And she saw all of his wisdom and the house that he'd built and the meat of his table. I'm all about eating. And the sitting of his servants and the attendance of his ministers and their apparel. Now, when you think about ministers, we just had the minister of music. So we've got ministers that minister music.
Right.
Then we've got ministers that minister in Scripture and in preaching and teaching. But she saw the attendance of his ministers and their apparel and his cupbearers and his ascent by which he went up to the house of the Lord. I almost preached this morning on lifting up Jesus. But God's all about going up. And
right.
The ascent by which he went up unto the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. Man, oh man, me and my wife get in some arguments. I wish she could get in this kind of category here of no more spirit in her. She's pretty spirited when it comes to arguing. I believe she'd argue with a stop sign. My wife got pulled over one time by a policeman. He gave her a ticket. I'd kind of like to have been a fly on the wall. I don't care what you're saying. She is speeding in this school zone. I can hear her now. I don't care what your radar gun said. I was not speeding, and he politely gave her a ticket. We wouldn't pay it. But the Queen of Sheba here said there was no more spirit in her. I can't believe I'm recording that. Don't y'all tell her to listen to this. And she said to the king, "It was a true report that I heard in my own land of thy acts and of thy wisdom. Howbeit," this is kind of a key verse, "howbeit I believed not the words until I came." Boy, it's a good preaching text here. "And my eyes had seen it, and behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceedeth the fame which I heard. Happy are thy men, and happy are these thy servants." You know, the Bible said happy is that people whose God is the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
Psalms 115, verse 14, I believe. Happy is that people whose God is the Lord. Yea, happy is that people's in such a case. I'm all about being happy. I like being happy. Amen.
Amen.
There's plenty of times. I went to a funeral yesterday. There's plenty of times to mourn, plenty of times to weep.
Right.
But I like being happy. And she said she noticed, "Happy are thy men. Happy are these thy servants which stand continually before thee and that hear thy wisdom. Blessed be the Lord thy God which delighteth in thee to set thee on the throne of Israel, because the Lord loved Israel forever. Therefore made he thee king to do judgment and justice." And she gave the king 120 talents of gold and of spices, very great stores, and precious stones. There came no more such abundance of spices as these which the queen of Sheba gave to King Solomon, and the navy also of Haran that brought gold from Ophir brought it in from Ophir, great plenty of almug trees and precious stones. And the king made of the almug trees pillars for the house of the Lord and for the king's house, harps also and psalm trees for singers. And there came no such almug trees, nor were there seen unto this day. And the king Solomon gave unto the queen of Sheba all of her desire, whatsoever she asked, besides that which Solomon gave her of his royal bounty. So she turned and went to her own country, she and her servants. We'll stop our reading right there. And like I said, I'm preaching today on seeking sinners. Pray with me. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you not only, Lord, want seekers to seek you, but Lord, you came to seek and to save them that were lost, and you're a seeking Savior. And Lord, we're thankful for the seeking Savior, but we're also thankful, Father, for sinners that seek you. And we know that if they seek you with their heart, they'll find you. And Lord, we thank you for this record in the Bible of this seeking sinner, how much we can learn from her. And Lord, help us today. I know your message is one of love, one of mercy and forgiveness, one of salvation. And Lord, your will is for the whole world to be saved. And we know, Lord, they won't never get saved till they start seeking you. And I pray they will. We pray for these that are before us. We pray for these that are here. This message on the internet. May this message find good ground. And whatever, Lord, comes from it, we give you the praise and the glory. Ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Most of our text is in verse 1 there. And the reason she came is because she had heard. That's mentioned in verse number 1. It said, when the Queen of Sheba heard. You know, one thing sinners need, they need to hear us. The Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And we need to say so. We need to tell them, boy, I mean, it's me and Brother Ed talking about this morning about being saved and what it was like before we got saved. We glad we didn't like that no more, but we need to tell that. We need to give testimony. Right. We need to tell our neighbor. And you know, we need to do it more, not less. And you know, the Bible mentioned in Mark chapter number 2, Brother Mitchell, it said when it was noised abroad that Jesus was in the house, it said there wasn't no room to receive them. I mean, they was on the outside listening. Now, I thought about this singing just a minute ago. I thought, I bet the neighbors up there can kind of hear the noise down here. How we need to be a little noisy. I'm not much on being quiet. I'm loud. And I can't help it. I'm an old street preacher. Love the love street preacher. But the Bible does say, lift up my voice like a trumpet. Cry aloud. Spare not. Tell my people.
That's right.
I told my pastor, I said, you know, use a hearing aid. He said, a hearing aid? I said, yeah. I said, a hearing without a preacher, amen.
Right.
Well, help your hearing, amen. You don't have to worry. Oh, Brother Harvey, I wish you'd hear this morning. Now, one thing he said about Brother Eddie, he said, I don't have no trouble hearing him, amen. But listen, sinners, they need to hear. They need to hear how the Lord helped you, amen. They need to hear what great things has the Lord done for you, amen.
Come on.
You know what? That man there, that woman in John chapter 4, she told them people in Samaria, she said, come see a man.
Yeah.
He told me all things I ever did, John 4:29. We need to invite them to come here. We need to invite them to come see. We need to go and tell our friends what great things the Lord has done. That's what Jesus told that demonic man in Mark 5. He said, go tell your family. Go tell your friends. Go tell them what great things the Lord's done. They need to hear, amen. And they need to hear it from us that are saved. They need to hear a true report. The Bible said a true witness delivers souls. Well, if a true witness delivers souls, what does a false witness?
Amen.
Jesus told that bunch in Mark 23, he said, you can pass land and sea to make one proselyte. He said, and when you make him, you make him a twofold more child of hell than yourself. We're the ones you need to tell them. We need to give out the report. We're the ones that needs to sound it off. We're the ones that need to tell them to come and hear, come and see. They'll find if they come. Amen.
That's right.
You know, most people, they got troubles, Brother Larry.
That's right.
And most people don't know what to do about them.
Right.
And the Lord invites them. He says, come to me.
Yeah.
I'll help you with those troubles. I'll help you. I'll fix it. I'm telling you, he's a very present help in trouble. They don't know that, but they need to know it.
Yeah, right.
He said, be still.
Yeah.
Psalms 46:10, be still and know that I'm God.
Right.
Well, somehow we just need to turn some things off.
That's it. Right.
And in the stillness of that moment, the boy hear that still small voice, Lord, say, I'm here. I'm here. I'm here for you. You know, he'll come to one, he'll come to a hundred. He makes, you know, he might call somebody, and he might not come. You call him, and he'll come.
Amen.
I mean, amen. Hallelujah. He makes house calls. Praise God. He's not just a physician. He's the great physician that healeth us. Sometimes I need a healing, amen. Sometimes I need a helping, amen. And sometimes I just need to hear,
amen.
I remember a story about a little girl. She was in the bedroom and she was afraid. And her mama said, I'm here, honey. You don't have to be afraid. She said, but I can't see you. She said, but I'm here, honey. She said, well, would you put your hand on my face? I could feel you. You know, that's sometimes that's where we are about God. We just want him to touch us, amen.
Yeah, right.
But we need to tell what great things the Lord had done. Someone had told the Queen of Sheba. She'd heard about Solomon, amen. That caused her to undertake this great journey.
Right.
That caused her quest to go and see for herself if what she heard was true, amen.
Yeah.
You know, sinners, they need the Savior.
Yeah.
But they'll never seek the Savior until they see in us. You know, we're his ambassadors. And you know, how should you hear without a preacher? I'm a preacher. And, you know, I need to do my job. I need to know as it abroad. You need to do your job too.
Right.
We're living epistles. So someone said we're the only Bible some people ever read. But someone had told her about Solomon. And she took off in a quest to go find out about this. You know, she said, verse 1, she said she heard about the fame and she come to prove him with hard questions. You know, I've had a lot of people ask me a lot of questions and some of them are pretty hard. Some of them said, where did Cain get his wife? And I said, well, considering the fact that Eve's the mother of all living, I suppose he got it from his mother Eve.
That's right.
And they'll say, you know, this and that. And I say, well, you know, I may not have all the answers, but I know one that does. Amen? What we can't answer, we can point them to him.
That's right.
He can answer them. They might not like the answer, but he can answer it. Amen?
That's right.
And you know, sometimes the Lord does give a pretty blunt answer. But she had come to see for herself. It had caused her to leave the comfort of where she was as the Queen of Sheba and the journey to Jerusalem. And in her journey, her quest was, she wanted to prove him. She wanted to know. And you know they need to know.
Yes, that's right.
And we're supposed to help them know.
That's right. Yeah, we are.
You know, the day I got saved, Rita, I wondered, why am I not in heaven? That's the funniest thing. Why would anybody? I had that thought the day I got saved. I expected to open my eyes and be in heaven. And in some sense of the word, I was, Sharon. I mean, I wasn't in the dilemma I was before. I was in the family of God now, but I really expected to be in heaven when I opened my eyes, and I was kind of disappointed. I thought, why am I not in heaven? And kind of like this little boy right here, I thought, well, there must be something God wants me to do.
Yeah, right.
And there is something God wants us to do.
That's right.
He wants us to be an example of a believer in word and deed. He wants us to tell what great things the Lord done for us. You know, Brother Mitchell could tell what great things God done for him.
That's
and
right.
I could tell what great things God's done for me. And people might believe him, they might not believe me. But all of us need to tell him.
That's right.
All of us are kind of like jewels being polished for his crown. And one day we'll be fit to be in his crown.
Amen.
And I'm telling you right now, I'm a work in progress. I'm still a little rough around the edges. But he's still working on me. And the Bible says in Philippians chapter 1, being confident of this, he's begun a good work in you. We'll continue to the day of Christ. He's still working on us.
Amen.
One of these days I'll get all polished up and I'll be fit to take my rightful place in heaven. And when I am, praise God, I'll be a finished work.
Amen.
I hope you got that finished work.
Yeah.
Well, that's what we are. We're still being worked on. Amen.
Right.
She had come to see for herself. Two of John's disciples, as they was following John, they ran into Jesus, and John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God, and they stopped following John, and they started following Jesus, and they asked Jesus, where dwellest thou? And the answer was, come and see.
Yes.
Now they went to see where he dwelt at. And they asked him, and he told them, come and see. And then Philip told Nathanael, that's in St. John chapter 1, verse 38 and 39. Then Philip found Nathanael and said, we found him of whom is going to be king of Israel, verse 45. Then Philip told Nathanael, come and see, verse 46. Then Nathanael came, and Nathanael believed, verse 49. And the Lord says to all, come unto me, Matthew 11, 28. And those that come to him will not be turned away, John 6, 37.
Amen.
But you see, she had come for herself. That's what sinners need to do.
That's right.
You know, they need to hear it.
That's right.
But they need to also come.
Amen. To do.
Now, I had my own opinion about church. Matter of fact, I remember the day I came, Sister Joanne. I thought everybody in that church was going to look down their nose at me and thought, who brought this drunk in here? Because I was still drunk from the night before.
Right.
I had bragged that Saturday night about how not only drunk I was going to get, but how I was going to go fishing the next day. Carolyn, I bragged about I was going to go fishing the next day, and I used vulgar language. I told my cousin, I said, you can go with me. If you don't, you know what with you. And the next morning, that Sunday morning, as I got up still drunk from the Saturday night before, and I'm getting dressed to go fishing, Sharon, my bedroom door open. How old are you, young man?
9.
8-year-old boy come through my bedroom door, walked up to his drunk daddy and said, Daddy, will you please go to church with me today? And for the first time in my life, at the age of 34 years old, I saw the real Eddie Wade.
That's right.
Ain't that something?
Amen.
I mean, for 34 years, I've been looking at Eddie Wade in the mirror, but I hadn't saw the real Eddie Wade.
Amen.
It hurt. It's humbling.
Yeah.
I mean, buddy, it hurt. It hurt. Oh, it hurt.
That's right.
I mean, I saw the failure that I had been to this young boy. He had to ask his own daddy to go to church with him. I should have been asking him to go to church.
That's right.
Anyway, it hit home, boy. It got me back. I fell down on my knees. As much as I wanted to fight, as much as I wanted to say no like I told everybody else, but then I couldn't find a way to tell him no. You know, the Bible does say a little child will lead him.
That's right.
And that little 8-year-old boy, boy, he prevailed. Like little David come against Goliath, a little old rock. Knocked that giant down. He lay there flopping like a fish. Well, that's about where I was. And I remember I told a little boy, my son, I said, of course, Daddy, go to church with you today. And he went running down the hall, Mama, Mama, Daddy's going to church with me today. And I'm back here in World War III with the devil. You've done it now. And you know, that's the way a sinner thinks.
That's right.
A sinner thinks like this right here, that they've got something to lose.
Yeah, that's right.
See, I was thinking, boy, I'm going to have to give up all my drinking.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to give up all my running around and all the things, you know, I have to admit I love darkness, red light, my deeds is evil. And I thought, Joanne, I was going to lose something. I didn't have nothing to lose.
That's right.
Man, I was dead in trespass and sin.
That's right.
And God offered me life, and I thought I was going to lose something.
Right.
I come from my own self. I heard from my own self.
Yeah.
Boy, that was a true report, amen. I mean, that preacher got up there and preached, and the Word of God, it prospers in the thing it's sent to do. It don't return void. It prevails.
Right.
I mean, I tried to hide back there on the back row. I slid down.
Amen.
I'm telling you, what, wasn't no getting out of it.
Right.
Praise God. I got arrested,
amen.
And I'm telling you, a big way I got arrested.
Right.
That helped me out. But oh, listen, I come in, I'm kind of like the Queen of Sheba. I'd heard a little bit about it. I had my own opinion about it. But until I came from my own self, I had no idea of what it's like to be in a church service and have God in there. Amen. I've been in a pew and God wasn't in there. Sunday school. Listen, this morning, I've been in somebody might would have been the funeral home. I mean, it was dead.
Yeah, that's right.
There's one preacher got up, he's called to do a revival in the church Joanne. He was an evangelist. He got up and he said, I'm a little jealous of y'all. And they thought, oh boy, how come? He said, because the Bible said the dead in Christ will rise first. Y'all there in the door now. Rick told me one time he got called to preach a revival at this church. And he said there was a wasp were flying around in the church and they was all chasing it, trying to kill it. They finally killed it. He wrote me a Bible. He said, I wish they hadn't killed that wasp. It's the only way I seen alive in the whole circle.
Oh,
well, listen, God's not the God of the dead.
That's
He's the God of the living.
He
Boy, I take great courage, even in funerals, to know that God's the God of the living. And we're able to say goodbye for now, not forever. He's going to bring him with him when he comes. Amen. Now, praise God. I'm glad he's going to bring my daughter with him. He's going to bring your husband with you. All your family members. He's going to bring them with him when he comes. And he says, wherefore comfort one another with these words. She hadn't heard none of that, Brother Ed.
That's right.
She'd heard of it, but she hadn't come seen it. She hadn't proved it. So she comes. I'm telling you, buddy, she wanted to see for herself. You know, that's what they really need. Right. I mean, I can tell them, I can invite them, and we should tell them, and we should invite them.
Uh-huh.
And they need to hear, but they got to come themselves. But you know what? She come like most come. She's a skeptic of what she'd heard. That's why she wanted to prove him with those hard questions. She didn't really believe the report, but she believed it enough. Let me give her credit for this. She believed it enough to act on it.
Yeah.
At least she did come. I'll tell you this, you get them to come, I'll take care of the skeptics.
That's right.
Somebody said, well, how you going to put it? I said, bring them something on the front row up here.
Amen.
Somebody told me one time, they said, we're going to do a bunch of gays and come in. I said, bring them on.
Yeah.
Man, God's word fits all, one size fits all.
That's right.
Man, you know, I heard somebody a little song the other day about a gown with a back out, talking about a hospital gown. Talking about praise God, we get to heaven, we'll get a gown, ain't got no back out of it, amen. It was a pretty funny song, I laughed listening at it. That's kind of where our life is down here, that's all they do, give us a gown with a back out, because one size fits all. But listen, when we get to heaven, we'll get a gown, it'll have a back in it, amen.
Yeah, right.
But oh, listen, she's a skeptic, Brother Ed, of what she'd heard. And listen, at least it caused her to come and prove with questions, come and get an answer for herself. Of why, you know, that she was so slow to believe. And let me say this, God has the answer to all of our questions. Those Pharisees, those chief priests, they sent officers to arrest Jesus in John chapter 7 verse 32. And they returned without Jesus and they said, why have you not brought him? And they answered, never a man spake like this man. You know, you get in the presence of Jesus, you'll have a different opinion of him.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, Saul run head on in him.
Yes, he did.
I mean, here he's out persecuting Christians, and he's causing all kinds of havoc and trouble, and he's journeying, breathing out threats, and he runs into the chief of the Christians, Jesus. He runs into him, and read, he had to ask him who he was. Who art thou? He said, I'm Jesus. Boy, I'll tell you right now, it's something deep making it. Trouble for someone they run into them.
Yeah,
and you know what I mean? You've been making all kind of accusations and all kind of manner of conversations about someone run into them and said, I'm him.
Yeah.
And he mentioned about that in 2 Corinthians. He said, therefore, when the terror of the Lord, he said, we persuade men. It changed him. Matter of fact, he went from Saul to Paul.
That's right.
And you know, he was different. Immediately, the Bible said he preached Christ. And it'll make a difference if they can get in His presence. And you know, these soldiers, as hardened as their hearts were, and they were trained to obey orders, they came back without Him. And the only answer they could give, never a man spake like this man. Boy, it's a good answer, amen.
Yes,
let me say this about the queen.
Amen.
She heard. She came.
Yes.
She saw. And she believed.
Amen.
She said, how be it? I believe not. Verse 7. She said, I believe not the words until I came. You know, that made a difference in her believing. And these sinners, they need to come. And when they come, they'll believe. I'm telling you, it's kind of hard to miss it.
Yeah.
I mean, he ain't got no fault. He's Pilate examined him. He said, I find no fault. And there's not none to find.
That's right.
I mean, he's perfect. He's the Lamb of God, without spot, without blemish. You can scrutinize Him all you want to. He'll pass the test.
Right.
And when they come, they'll find out there's wrong and He is right.
Right.
They'll find out, Brother Mitchell, like me, I should have come a long time ago. Instead of waiting to 34 years old and coming, I should have come as a young boy. I should have come up and got acquainted with Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
The Bible said, let no man despise your youth.
Right.
You're as big for God right now as you'll ever be in your life.
Yeah,
stand 10 foot tall for God. Say, I know Jesus. and I know him personally.
That's right.
That's what I tell people. I say, you know, Don, they say, yeah. I say, you know him personally? He said, well, no. I said, I know Jesus personally.
That's amen. Right.
Hallelujah. Hey, listen, praise God, I'm glad she heard. I'm glad, praise God, she came. I'm glad she saw. I'm glad she believed. Oh, listen. We'll try to close this up a little bit here. She returned satisfied, verse 13 says.
Yeah.
You know, I remember when I came as a skeptic, and let me spend a little time here. I had no peace with them. I was mad at everybody. I blamed everybody. Everybody's wrong, now it's right.
Uh-huh.
The Bible said there's no peace, said my God, to the wicked. It says that twice.
That's right.
So Isaiah 48, Isaiah 57, I believe. Said there's no peace, said my God, to the wicked. Well, that described me to T. I didn't have no peace. And that made me mad.
Right.
And, you know, I didn't know why I didn't have no peace, but I was mad because I didn't have no peace, Brother Mitchell. And I was wanting to square off and fight. And you know, I'm kind of like these people goes in these schools with a gun. They're just no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. They're just as wicked can be.
Right.
God didn't tell us to kill. God told us to forgive one another and
right.
to love one another. I always appreciate Brother Jerry. Let's have a handshake. Tell somebody
right.
to love
that's
them.
Right. Yeah.
Boy, that's a good that's thing to do, Brother Jerry.
Amen.
I'm telling you, one thing God commanded us. He said, I command you.
Yeah.
A new commandment. I command you to love one another
that's right.
as I've loved you. He loved
amen.
Me unconditionally.
That's right.
At least I can do love somebody else. Amen.
Amen.
But I was mad at the world, Carolyn.
Right.
I had no peace with them. I didn't know my problem was no peace. I was mad. I wanted to fight with my wife. I wanted to fight with my neighbor. I dare people. I said, how big do you think you are? You are the proof to me. Because I tell you, I fight you.
Yeah.
I mean, I just plumb out of control.
That's
no
right.
peace, saith my God, to the wicked. That was me. I was wicked. Because I hadn't met Him. I had no peace within. I blamed others. I was mad at others. I needed a good dose of Jesus. You know the psalm that said in Psalm 34 verse 8, oh taste and see
amen.
That the Lord is good.
Yeah.
I had never tasted. But let me say this, after I did get a taste, let me say this, my heart was fixed.
Yeah.
Psalm 57 verse 7, and now I love them even that hate me. I pray for them. I know what their problem is. I've sat where they sit.
That's right.
I understand their problem because I've been there. I can relate to it. Me and Ed are talking about both being drunks. We can understand. We can relate to that. We know the problems it causes. We know how expensive it is. We know what it caused you to do.
Amen.
I'm glad I ain't one no more. I'm glad it's behind me. I'm glad my sins as far as the east is from the west have been remembered no more against me. I'm glad it cast them in the depths of the sea. Praise God. Put up a sign, no fishing devil. I'm telling you, praise God, I'm glad His blood cleanses us from all sin. I'm glad that somebody wrote a song. Lord, forgive me my sin. God said, what sin? It's of the blood. I mean, we may not understand that, but the blood of His Son, Jesus, cleanses us from all sin. God said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Christ, our Passover Lamb, was crucified for us, and He made peace with God for us by His blood. Amen.
Yeah.
God saw that blood of His dear Son.
Yes, He did.
And He said, I'll accept that.
That's right.
There man has no more need for sacrifice. The man wants the sacrifice. God said, just accept the sacrifice of my Son, and I'll accept you on the merits of Him.
That's right.
And oh me, until I came, Brother Mitchell, I didn't know all those things.
That's right.
Well, listen, now I know Him personally.
Yeah.
It's one thing to know Him, but now I know
right.
Him personally.
That's right.
Now I know it's well in my soul. Now, Sister Reed, I sleep like a baby. I mean, how you threaten somebody to heaven? I was up on the square up there preaching one day, and a car full of teenagers pulled in down below me, and I'm just preaching. I mean, I ain't pouring or nothing. I'm just preaching, and of course, one teenager, he's a little bit of a punk. He wanted to show off his buddies there, and he turned around, Joanne, he said, I'm coming back, and I'm going to bring my shotgun. I said, buddy, don't threaten me with heaven. I'll wait on you.
Right.
He couldn't speak. His knees buckled him. I meant it. I did. I said, don't threaten me with heaven. I'll wait on you, buddy. You know, no weapon formed against me can prosper. All he can do is get me to heaven quicker than
that's
going
right.
anywhere. I'm
right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, you blow me up, you cut my head, I'm still going. going to heaven. My sin is a sin in heaven. Down here we got no continuing city. But we're seeking one, and praise God when we get home. There'll be no end to the joy. There'll be no end, praise God, to the things that we'll be able to enjoy that God has prepared for us. I'm looking forward to getting out of this mess and getting home,
that's
amen.
Right. Yeah, boy.
I sleep so much better now, Brother Head, since the 12, my soul.
Yeah.
And I enjoy them songs them girls sung.
Yeah, boy.
I enjoy those ones Brother Jerry picked out. Man, I didn't like them before, but I like them now.
Oh, yeah.
I've been eating from the wrong table. I hadn't been sipping with him. I didn't know what I was missing out on. You know, you hear about a good meal, but until you sit down and eat some of it, you don't even know what you're missing out on.
Right.
You know, they're all good, but you know, some of them just seem like they're a little better than others. I got the best one ever has been.
Amen.
Woo!
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
But oh, I wish sinners would seek him. Let me try to put the finishing touches on this. I wish they'd seek him.
Yeah. That's
right. I wish they'd find him. I wish they'd know him.
That's right.
And then I wish they'd leave like a queen of sheep but satisfied. I'm going to say she probably took some of that home with her.
Yeah.
And she probably knows that brought, I bet him.
Yeah.
Oh, let me tell you about him. Boy, it's a blessing to tell others about him.
Yes, it is.
And you know what? I wouldn't waste my time telling somebody about me, but I love to spend time telling people about him.
That's right.
I said, let me tell you about him. Let me tell you what he done for me. Let me tell you how much he paid just so I could go free. Oh, my. Somebody told me over the weekend about an airhead that sold for $90,000. And a black slave had found it back, I don't know how long back it was, but a black slave had found it and gave it to his master. And I guess his master died. Someone else ended up with it. Someone else ended up with it. But it was found in Danville, Kentucky. And anyway, it was sold. And he told me, he said, guess how much it sold for? And I said, heck, I don't know how much. He said, $90,000. I said, boy, I wish I'd have found it. Bro, listen, my master, boy, he owns it all. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He owns the hills and the taters in them. I'm telling you, glory to God, it's yet to be seen what we shall be. But when he shall appear, we'll be like him. We'll be royalty. I've never known royalty. But he made us kings and priests. We're going to, praise God, we're going to be able to know royalty.
Yeah.
You know, those blue bloods over there, Nancy Pelosi calls us the little people.
Yeah.
I might be little to her, but not to him.
Amen. Right.
He's the good shepherd, knows his sheep. He's coming for me. He's coming for you. But I wish sinners would seek him, Brother Ed. And I wish they'd seek him until they find him. And I wish they'd leave satisfied after meeting him. Amen. But I like this story here. She summed this all up. She said the half ain't been told. Boy, what a statement. How true that is.
Yeah, right.
The half ain't been told.
Right.
When you get to heaven, you know what the first thing you're going to say?
Yeah.
The half ain't been told.
Right.
And John tried to tell us a little bit about it. He said many other things did Jesus do. And he said, I suppose if it's all written, he said the world couldn't contain the books. But he said these are written that you may.
Yes.
When we get there, praise God, we'll realize we don't need nothing. All things will be provided. And it'll be worth whatever. I don't think nobody goes in heaven complaining. I think we go in heaven saying, praise God, I made it. Amen. Job said he's saved by the skin of his teeth. Peter said, if the righteous scarcely be saved, what shall the ungodly, worse than ungodly sinner, but I'll take scarcely by the teeth, either one. I just want to get there.
Right.
And when I get there, I'll say, woo! Glory to God. It's all behind me. Kind of like a woman having a baby. I remember my miseries no more. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this report of the Queen of Sheba. Lord, we just pray that God, some sinner, could somehow relate to her undertaking, her quest to find out for her own self, Lord, about this matter. And Lord, she came her own self, and she heard, and she saw, and she proved to her own self not only that it was true, but that the half hadn't even been told her. And I pray, Lord, lost sinners, Lord, to somehow relate to that. I pray to cause them at least question, Lord, enough to even come to church and see for themselves and get in a real church and get saved and know for themselves that how real and how true it is. And thank you for these that are before us, Lord. I don't know the hearts like you do, but Lord, I'm pretty persuaded everybody here is saved. And Lord, if there's one here this morning that's not saved, I pray God that, Lord, that since you're greater in our heart and know all things, and you said if our heart condemn us not, we have confidence towards God. I pray, Lord, that their own heart be condemned, that they know they need to do something with this Jesus even today and make it right between you and God. And Lord, if you don't put no condemnation in nobody's heart, help us to leave rejoicing. And Lord, come back next point in time. In Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen. I'd like to ask everybody to stand. Get Brother Jerry and Sister Sharon, if they would please, just a verse of invitation of him. I don't know how the Word of God went to you, but maybe it went to you like to me and just blessed you real good. You'd be given a chance here in a minute to testify. But maybe it went to you and you realize maybe you ain't where you need to be. Right now it's time to do something about that.
That's right.
Right now. The Bible says now is